Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. The next segment of our show, we'll hear from Aaron Ball from Kingston Circus Arts. Tell me a little bit about your work in disability circus performances.
I am a self-identified mad and disabled person. I am based in Cataraqui or Kingston, Ontario, where I have a studio called Kingston Circus Arts. I started the studio after my accident that led to, as my friend Debbie Patterson says, achieving disability. After my accident, so let me back up actually. Before my accident, I was a circus artist and coach. And after, I started relearning circus, and a lot of the coaches that I worked with didn't really know how to work with me. And as I started connecting more and more to the disability community, I started realizing that the ways that I was trying to teach people didn't really work. So that led me to develop a more collaborative approach, and to really thinking about all of the unique possibilities that disability can create, and that led me to creating the studio with access in mind.
So, if you're comfortable, can you tell me a little bit about your accident and how it changed your perspective on life?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea ingrained ableism that is in society, the unintentional ableism, I guess, and intentional. And so when my accident happened, I went for a walk in the winter, and my feet got wet, and long story short, I ended up lost in the woods for 6 days and had severe frostbite. So I spent the next pretty much year in the hospital, and I had a really hard time. And I think a lot of that was because of the ableist society that we live in. My perspective at that time was that you know, having to use a wheelchair was the worst thing. And so that next year was really me figuring out that that's just not true. Really starting to shift the perspective into like, no, wheelchair is actually great. It's a tool. And disability itself is not a bad thing. It's just the way that everything has been set up that creates barriers.
So, I'm wondering, for your circus arts, How do you go about tailoring a program to different abilities that you might encounter?
For me, it's really about acknowledging that each person is the expert in their own body. I cannot be expected to know what other people's experience is. They have that knowledge. So it's really about collaborating together. You know, I have some knowledge of circus, and I bring ideas, but it's about figuring it out together. Those ideas that I have may or may not work. And so, yeah, we explore together.
So, can you take me through some of the adaptations you have made successfully?
I've worked with all kinds of people. I really think it's, again, just about finding the uniqueness and celebrating that if people are in a place where they want to do that and some people are not, and that's also fine. It's really about listening and letting the participants lead. Myself personally, I have relearned many different aerial apparatuses. I hang a wheelchair in the air.
Really?
Yeah.
So, in your time with Kingston Circus Arts, is there any success story that stands out for you in terms of getting a performer with a disability into the rhythm of it?
There are so many. I run yearly amputee camps where participants come from all over, and a lot of the people that come have never done circus before, and in a week we explore all kinds of aerial apparatuses, and then people choose what they want to work on to perform it at the end of the week show. So people come in and do a performance. And the last one that we had, we performed here in Kingston. And then we also got invited to be a part of a bigger show in Toronto. And for some people, it's been the start of their circus journey, and they're continuing back where they live. And then I also have run many, many disability-specific workshops and just inviting the disability community into regular classes. You know, the classes here, we strive to offer circus for anybody who wants to try it.
So how do you go about adapting some of the aerial apparatuses? Can't imagine it's easy hanging a wheelchair in midair.
So the wheelchair needed to be modified specifically to have load-bearing ratings for circuits. I'm an aerialist, so I'm always thinking about what I can hang off of. So that was kind of how that idea came to me. And it also kind of represents my shift in perspective of wheelchairs and of disability. It's not always about adapting the apparatuses, but sometimes I'll add loops onto things, or the wheelchair provides weight on the fabric that creates tension, which works really well for many different people as well. So anything that will add weight. I worked with a company, Circus Concepts, and they helped me to create an aerial net. I had one specific person who we were trying to figure out how she could climb, and we came up with the idea of loops, basically all kind of woven together, and then I worked with the company Circus Concepts, and they created this aerial net that hangs from the ceiling to the floor. Normally, there are other aerial nets out there, but normally they are in like a loop shape or a sling, but we wanted to open it up so that the participant Talia Osborne could coin.
So I'm wondering, have you ever encountered a potential performer with something like a vision impairment?
Absolutely, yep. I've worked with lots of blind and partially sighted folks.
So how do you tailor the equipment and training for them?
I mean, every person is different in what they need. So sometimes it's about, let's say we're doing a warm-up or like an activity with several people on the floor. Maybe it's offering partners. If it's something in the air specifically, I mean, I would do this with anybody starting on the ground, learning the movement there, and then taking it up higher, offering lots of description. But yeah, it's really figuring it out with the specific person, individual.
I'd like to thank you for taking time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. This next interview is a post-dated one, so some of the events referred to may already have happened. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Mohammed Nady from the Collaborative. So tell me a little bit about your disability story.
Well, first things first, I don't really refer to mine as a disability story, mainly due to the fact that I don't believe in the word disabled. Because when you use the term, you put yourself in a negative mindset. My story is mainly like everyone else's. Of course, I was born with cerebral palsy, which makes things a little more difficult, but it doesn't make me less human than anyone else.
So,
I still got this lungs, heart, and brain as everyone else's.
So, were you diagnosed at birth then?
Yes, sir.
And, can you tell me a little bit about some of the supports you had growing up with CP?
Well, what do you mean by support?
In school, friends and family, just things that kept you strong.
You know, yeah, support workers, the SW, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did have a lot of support workers in school. Mainly during my classes because I needed a computer to type out with. I had, of course, the support of my family. But I always try to be independent, regardless of the support that I have.
And where has your education led you? I know you're involved with the Collaborative, which...
I'm a college graduate.
St. Clair?
Yes, sir.
What program did you take at the college?
I graduated from CICE, which stands for Community Integration Through Cooperative Education.
And which branch of the program did you graduate from?
When you say branch, what does that refer to?
I know there are different specialties you can take, office admin, culinary. When I took the program myself, I recall you had your choice of what post-secondary courses accompanied the CIC courses, whether it be horticulture, landscaping, office admin, or any of those.
Mine was general arts and science.
So, what do you hope to do with your education now that you've graduated?
Well, I've already started my career. I recently became an actor. I'm actually working on a project right now that I can't give too many details on. But I'm very fortunate.
So, when it comes to disabilities and acting, do you find there's any challenges for an actor with a condition like CP to get involved with the production?
Well, I'm a voice actor, which makes it a little easier because all I have to do is talking to a microphone. But I have seen circumstances where if you go on audition for an on-camera role, they'll turn you down simply due to the fact that you look like this. They don't want to say anything because they don't want to disrespect you. But you know that's what their mindset is.
So, how do we as a society get away from that mindset and towards a more respectful and inclusive one?
So, I think we need to get out of that mindset by not looking at the physical side, but looking at what we can offer as human beings, regardless of what we look like or where we're from.
And in your education and your acting, has there been any success story that stands out for you?
Well, see, I'm just breaking out the industry, so I don't know any. But one thing I can tell you is that I'm one of the very few disabled actors in the business.
So, if you could send any message to the community about why it is people with disabilities should pursue and follow their dreams in their chosen careers, what would you say?
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
What was your question?
So, if you could send any message to the disability community about why they should follow their hopes and dreams, what would you tell them?
I would tell people, take the word disabled and take the D-I-S out of it. Because, like I said at the beginning, when you say the word disabled, what does that imply? That implies that you're saying that your condition that you have no control over prevents you from following your passion. I don't believe in that.
So, what are the next steps in your journey?
Well, I hope to pursue my acting career full time. Now, I don't know how well that'll work out, but you know, I'm willing to give it a shot, and I'll still be active with the collaborative. I'm honored to be a part of that group.
How did you get involved with them?
I was invited by a friend of mine to join the collaborative because I've already been an advocate for disabilities since 2011. So, when I found out about this group and I was asked to join, I immediately jumped on the opportunity.
So, you tell me a little bit about your advocacy efforts themselves.
The thing is, everybody can be an advocate, but it takes real courage to advocate on someone else's, to advocate on your own behalf rather than advocate on somebody else's behalf.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure.
Handy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
The Windsor Youth Center is a free drop-in community center for homeless and at-risk youth in the Windsor, Essex area. The WYC assists people with many important things, such as replacing identification, resume writing, as well as providing meals, snacks, and a safe space for youth to come together. The Windsor Youth Center is located at 1247 Wyandotte Street East and is open Monday to Friday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. For more information, visit their website at downtownmission.com under the services or give them a call at 226-674-0006.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association, an organization that provides recreational and athletic opportunities for individuals with disabilities in Windsor, Essex. For more information, check out ICHA on Facebook. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard about some remarkable disability circus arts from Aaron Ball, and Mohammed Nadi shared his story of inclusive education. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Randa Gowrie from Ontario Blind Sports. So tell me a little bit about blind sports.
Hi, how are you doing? Good, hi. Sorry about that. Well, blind sports, we are an association that works with blind and visually impaired athletes. We look to actually have them participate in different sports and be able to find ability in their disability. So we sanction goalball. It's a major blind sports sport. It's actually mainly for just the blind. There isn't like an equivalent Olympic sport to it. We have multiple different sports as well. So it's we have 5-a-side soccer. We have beat baseball. There's like every single sport out there for anyone who wants to participate in sports.
So, how do you go about reaching out to the community to let them know about your work?
We have multiple different contacts. We reach out to different organizations. We also do like different programs, like school programs, and well, because of COVID, this has stopped, but we did multiple different school programs, sports days, like outreach programs to universities. We have multiple different like programs to reach out for athletes who wish to participate in blind sports. But that's about it. We have we reach out to universities, to schools, elementary and high schools. We reach out to the community via social media and contacts and other associations who might know blind or visually impaired athletes who want to pursue sport.
So, do you find that when you go into schools to talk about your work, there are any myths or misperceptions concerning blind sport?
I do think people are kind of hesitant just because they may find it like they're not very sure what blind sports are and what they can and can't do. But I mean, everyone is able, so anyone who wants to participate in sport is able to do that. So I think it just, there's like confidence that needs to be seen, to be reached out to.
So in terms of educating people within a school setting, how do you go about instilling this message, letting them know that it is something they can do?
Sorry, repeat that one more time. Like, how do I reach out to students and tell them that they can do?
That blind sport is something they can, in fact, be involved with if they choose to, in terms of building up that confidence you mentioned.
Yeah, so I would say give it a try. You never know what your body can and can't do until you like push yourself to your limits. So anyone can play sports and anyone could try different sports. When we go into schools, we introduce blind and visually impaired students to multiple different sports, not necessarily just goalball. So they have like an idea of what different sports are there out for them to do.
So, do you use any modified equipment in the sports themselves?
We do. So because they're visually impaired and blind, for every single sport it's different, of course. But for example, I'll give you an example with goalball. We use a ball that has bells, so that way when it rolls across the court, they can hear it. They can hear the ball. And then we also, for example, 5-a-side soccer, we use like a ball that rattles. So also when it goes across the court, it rattles, so they are able to hear it.
So
not the court, the field, I mean.
So for those who might not be as familiar with goalball, can you tell me a little about it?
Goalball is a game that's just for blind athletes. There isn't something equivalent to that in the Olympics, so it's a Paralympic game. With goalball, it's a volleyball court size, and it's a 3-on-3 game. So because the goalie is so wide, so it's a wide goalie that spans across the width of the court, there's a huge amount of like error that you can actually score a goal. So what happens is the field is always quiet, so the referee calls quiet before the ball is rolled. So it's not a ball that you shoot it, it's rolled. And then once everyone is quiet, the player rolls the ball across the court, and then the other three players on the other end use their hearing abilities to try to locate the ball and defend it.
So in your time with Blind Sport, is there any success story that stands out for you?
There are multiple success stories. We have Glenn Wade, our president, who is totally blind. He has been to the Paralympics twice. He's able to do, he worked for Rogers, and he's able to do just like anyone can do anything. He's amazing. We also have on our board Jason Dunkerley. So Glenn was actually a goalball Paralympian. Jason is a athletics Paralympian, and he went to the Paralympics, I believe, more than twice, and he won multiple competitions. Jason is amazing. Jason is actually training to go back to Tokyo 2021, I believe, now, for 2020.
So, if you could send any message to the community about the need for inclusion in sport, what would you say?
About the inclusion in sport.
The need for it, yes.
The need for inclusion?
Yes.
I want to say, don't stop. There is always an opportunity for you to exceed and excel. Everyone can do anything, so don't let your disability stop you. Disabled, blind, and visually impaired individuals are the same as anyone else, and they can completely do anything by themselves. So let's just be inclusive in that sense, that include blind and visually impaired individuals and consider their need in anything that is socially or socially related, because sport is considered to be a social gathering as well.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
My friends, I must say I'm floored by what Aaron was describing. The fact that someone would think to incorporate a wheelchair or any sort of accessibility appliance into circus performance is just remarkable. But in the other sense, it's not. It is as it should be. Just because a person might move a little differently, that is not a deterrent, not a valid one anyway, to doing whatever it is they want to do in life, whether it be getting an education, participating in sports, or going on the tightrope for that matter. If there's a way to do it, people can find it. It's just a matter of taking the time, patience to look beyond the obvious, to see potential and capability where others might see an impediment or a roadblock. See the way around, see the way through. Create something for your fellow human beings. I promise you the world will be better for it. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.